What was that?
Stacy, are you? Can you talk to us, Stacy, so we know you're online?
I'm here.
Okay, she's talking.
Petty.
You were breaking up just a second ago. Right at them, okay. Roll call. Terry's here.
Here.
Mike Walters.
Yes.
Jack Minner.
Yep.
Mike Babcock. And the remaining Victor, Chris Guy, Aaron Messner, not able to, and Valerie Duclip, not able to make it here today. So do we have, we do have a quorum. Yeah, we do. Okay, good. All right, very good. Approved meeting minutes, January 7th, 2022. Is there any objections to that? Okay, and they will stand, that is mentioned. Public comment, Wanda, would you like to go ahead?
Sorry, I'm used to speaking up there and
sure.
Lectern and all
Wanda,
that.
Wanda, what is your last name, just for the Cerny, record?
Cerny.
Thank you.
I've heard that the truth does not need defending. All you have to do is let it out of the cage, and like a lion, it will defend itself. I'm here today to speak the truth. These shots are dangerous and deadly, and the county has no business promoting or administering these shots. I have spoken and written several times before to plead for informed consent. But to date, when I open the newspaper to read an article from a member of this county board, the message is the same. The best way out of this pandemic is to get vaccinated, and the majority of those in the hospital are unvaccinated. People are under a spell and do not read widely from sources outside government-skewed studies and propaganda. Why would the government lie to us? Well, one obvious reason is that they have a lot of money tied up in the vaccine success. Unvaccinated by definition includes all those who have been fully vaccinated for a two-week period after the full regimen. 80% of those who die from the shots die within 2 weeks. All those will be wrongly counted as unvaccinated, and people do not realize this. The county reports case numbers as a reliable way to assess infection levels. But this is misleading because case numbers are driven by the number of tests given. 10 positives out of 100 tested is a lot worse than 10 positives out of 1,000 tested. Also, cases do not mean people are symptomatic or that they or what the test picked up is the pathogenic coronavirus. They do not even equal the number of people tested. 10 tests may represent only 3 or 4 people who tested more than once. The ways of reporting are deceptive, and the citizens of this county are being misled. Israel, the poster child for Pfizer vaccine, is on their 4th booster shots. The data shows that antibody levels do increase, but antibodies are a small part of one's immune system. Israel now has the highest COVID case rate per capita of any country in the world. Why? Each shot degrades your immune system. The shot forces the body to produce a toxic spike protein in uncontrolled amounts. The result is that these people, upon acquiring any garden variety pathogen that a healthy person could overcome, may die. In Australia, another country that has pushed vaccines, those fully vaxxed are more than 2 times as likely to catch COVID than the unvaxxed. They report that any protection wanes rapidly, and in fact, it goes negative, meaning people become more prone to infection. UK reports similar. Embalmers are finding numerous blood clots in the deceased. Death claims for life insurance policies have skyrocketed 40%. Neurodegenerative diseases and autoimmune diseases are spiking. What does it take to turn off this campaign? Why does this health board persist in promoting this failed vaccine? Please reconsider what role you should play in this campaign, which will go down in history as a crime against humanity.
Thank you. Would you like to permit for that to Stacy put on record?
Okay. I made a couple of corrections. But
okay. Stacy, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Great day, Wanda. Thank you, sir, for coming, too. Okay, monthly expense report. You have it. Does everybody have it in front of them? Here it is, right here. And I think we've seen it on email, so we just need to sign it going around. I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Mike Walters, Jack Minner.
Shit.
All in favor?
Aye.
Or you got to do it.
Do we have to go individually?
Yeah, I can just do it just for...
All right. Mike Walsh.
Yes.
Jack Minner?
Yeah.
Terry Aker?
Yes.
Mike Babcock? Yes. Okay. And then purchase request approvals. Again, it went out in your email.
Thanks.
If anybody has any questions, I need a motion.
So moved.
Second. I'll go Terry and then I'll go Mike. All in favor, let's go Terry.
Aye. Yes.
Let's go, Mike.
Yes.
Jack.
Yeah.
And let's go, Mike Babcock, yes. I got to sign them, too.
This isn't Bill, these are Bill.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I make a motion to approve the bill.
Okay, we'll take a motion from Mike, Jack.
Going to let her vote?
Yes.
Stacy.
She's not on committee.
Oh, she's not on committee, I didn't.
Jack.
Get over here.
On the bills. Jack, did you motion that?
I think.
Mike.
Mike did, he seconded.
He seconded, okay. And then all in favor, Mike?
Yes.
Jack?
Yeah.
Terry?
Yes.
Mike Babcock. And then we also have.
Really shaky this morning.
Resolution, Madison County Purchasing Department request of $20,657.25. Vendor name FFS Enterprise, I need a motion. Terry?
So moved.
Jack?
Yeah, second.
All right, and then all in favor, Terry?
Aye.
Jack?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yes.
And Mike Babcock, yes. Okay.
I'll hang on to this for a second.
Moving on to Health Department Director Report, that'd be Tony, and then new job description and I plan. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I just want to talk to you about. A few things. If you recall, I think it was last month or 2 months ago, we wrote a grant application for overdoses and surveillance response with IDPH. Happy to report we received that grant. It's a 3-year grant, $62,500. So.
Per year or total?
Per year.
Okay.
Per year. What it really is meant to do, we're really already well on our way, is to develop a partnership of stakeholders. We have that with one of our health priority groups, the Partnership for Drug-Free Communities, and then to develop a dashboard to look at opioid and just, you know, be able to have that to gauge for surveillance purposes. So we're pleased about that, and I'll have more on that. I just received the grant, so we'll send that in. The other thing I just wanted to talk about real quick was just to review the I-Plan process. We're kind of on steroids trying to do this. We've had to ask for 2 different extensions because of the COVID response taking us apart. So we're really trying our best to get this plan submitted by its due date in April. I may have to ask for 1 more extension just to get, you know, a few things cleaned up, but I wanted you all to understand what your role is in that. We're required by law to conduct a community needs assessment every 5 years. We work with the hospitals, who are also the not-for-profit hospitals, are required to also do a needs assessment, a community health needs assessment. So we work with them, and they've just done that. So pretty much the data and the input is very similar to that process. So we are just now completing the data collection of that process, and that's where we look at all kinds of different statistics, demographics, leading causes of death, lots of different issues, incidents of specific diseases, chronic diseases, that sort of thing. So we're looking at that. We will develop a very brief survey that will go out to the community asking what you think the most urgent health needs are in Madison County. We're required to have that community input. Then we'll get together, we will take that data and we'll look at it and we'll formulate what the health priorities are. Currently, our health priorities in Madison County: mental health, substance abuse, obesity, and air quality. I truly anticipate, and I'm a betting girl, that our priorities are going to stay the same. We're going to have still substance use, mental health, and obesity / cardiovascular types of chronic diseases. So I really think that's what it'll be. But I'll bring a resolution here to this committee for you all to approve and adopt those 3 or whatever they may be, end up being, those health priorities. That's one of the things I need to check off the list. Then we go back, we work with our stakeholders, and then we develop a community health planning that we're basically, we go back to those committees that have already been formed and have worked forever, or not forever, but for many years on these different health topics, and they'll develop a work plan over the course of the next several years. That becomes what we call our community health plan. Again, I'll come back to this committee, and the Board of Health ultimately will approve that, and then we'll submit it, and we'll be in good shape. A few little innuendo things that we have to do with this as well. not only do we take a look at what the health priorities are in the county, but we also have an opportunity to look in-house internally at our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, our threats. So we'll be doing our own organizational capacity assessment per se. And that kind of leads into this job description and those types of things that I will go into and talk next. It's an opportunity for us every 5 years to reevaluate our mission, our value statements, look at a strategic planning process. We haven't done a strategic plan in really now almost a decade, so we need to update all of that. It's a great time to look at our organization. Some of you may be aware or not aware, but Amy Yeager has taken a different job. She's no longer employed with the health department. Anytime you've had a 21-year employee who's been a director of community health services, that's time for us to take a look and see, are we going to reorganize and maybe, you know, shuffle things and do things a little bit differently. So we're in that process right now, really kind of looking at that. So the job description reviews what I was going to bring to you, and I don't have them today. The snow days kind of put a wrench in it for me, so it'll be a next month thing, but I anticipate that we will be revising and adding some different things to the community service director position. We approved in this year's budget the assistant director position. I still need to develop that job description. That's under development right now. Back in, I believe it was November, the volunteer management specialist, which is the individual that primarily works in our emergency preparedness program, and works with our over 600 MRC volunteers that have helped us throughout. He resigned, so we're also going to tweak that position and add a few more duties to that where it's not going to be as concentrated on volunteer management full-time, but to really try to incorporate some additional things.
So you have 3 vacancies, is that right?
Well, actually, I have more than that. I don't know if Andrew has posted yet, but a community navigator position that should be posted now. Mm-hmm. That's with, we had an individual resign that is working with the breast and cervical cancer grant program, trying to do outreach for uninsured and underinsured women to bring into the program.
Is that normal to have that? I'm just curious, is it normal to have that many people maybe out at the same time?
I think that I think everything's normal right now. I mean, look at MoDOT with their highway drivers and everything else. Yeah. It's really tough.
IT has 2 positions.
We actually have an LPN position open right now. I haven't posted that yet. The community navigator, obviously community health service director, that just happened. The assistant director position, we just formed that in this budget. The volunteer management specialist, when he left, I knew I wanted to revise that position. So, and I still have the environmental health service coordinator position that is vacant. So we're still just trying to work on this. But that's what I want to discuss with you. I'd hoped to have that the positions updated and ready for you all to approve and know that I was going to send on to personnel, but these last 2 days messed me up.
Next month.
So next month, yeah. Okay. That's really all I have today.
Okay, that's good. And just, Stacy, did you have a question? I know you're on the line.
I forgot she was on the phone, yes.
Are you still there, Stacy?
I am.
Okay, did you have a
question? I do have a question.
Go ahead.
I was going to wait till new business to bring it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I apologize. We're moving to new business right now. Number 6.
Perfect. Is that okay for me to go?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. So, Ms. Corona, I just have a question because I was watching the news maybe a week ago, and there was a news story that was about the Public Health Department of Madison County working with the school superintendents on a strategy that if the TRO case comes as
in
favor
Stacey.
Of the parents, so that the students don't have to wear masks.
Stacy, I'm going to put you on my phone. I think we might be able to cut the. We might be able. So if you could pick up my phone, is that okay?
Yep.
Stacy, can you hear?
I can. You guys?
Yes. Yeah. And now you're not cutting out. You were cutting out.
Awesome.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Technology's great when it works.
Can we put that closer to her?
My question is, I was watching the news a couple, maybe a week ago, and there was a story that the public health department was working in conjunction with the school superintendents on coming up with a strategy to put the students on virtual learning for the rest of the year if the TRO case comes up in favor of the parents. I just want to know, is this true, and why? What was the purpose behind this? Because I was under the impression that we signed the resolution back last month that made it possible that all students, all employees could go to work, could go to school every day and not have to worry about whether they were vaccinated or not and have that fear kind of thing. So can you please explain a little more?
I'll let you speak to the resolution because the resolution doesn't have any effect on...
No, can you explain to her?
Yeah.
So,
Stacy, the superintendents, the schools, and the health department, we have collaborated throughout this entire pandemic. Illinois State Board of Education does require that the health department consult with any school that is looking at taking a pause. They don't really like to use the word adaptive pause anymore, but that's kind of what they still do. If there is going to be a time because of whatever the circumstances are that they go to look at remote learning, they are supposed to contact the health department and consult with us. I've had over the course of the last couple of years, superintendents contact me, and we have discussed that. Primarily, it's all been a result of increased amounts of COVID cases within classrooms where there's a shortage of teachers, you know, to cover and do things like that. But ultimately, the decision of going remote is really the lion's share of that responsibility sits with the school district and the superintendent of that school district, not the health department. We're available for consultation. That's it.
Stacy, does that answer some of your questions?
Some, yes. Okay, I need to think on that a little more, but okay. Thank you for a little bit of clarification. I do appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah, in my conversation with Tony earlier, Stacy, was she is in no position to somehow tell the schools that they have to shut down, and I think that was one of the concerns that we had talked about, and Tony just about a half hour ago indicated to me that is not her role nor her position, and so she's indicated that it's really up to the school board and the superintendent of that school to enact what the school board's decision making process is. Does that make sense?
It does. Okay. It does. I just wanted some clarification because, you know, as always, communication can get crazy and rumors and such. So I just wanted to hear from Ms. Corona what, you know, the public health department's role was with that. So
perfect.
Consultation only.
Thank you, Stacy, for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. Do you want to be on the line? We're just about ready to close, Stace.
I will hang up.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, dear.
See you.
Bye. Okay, that being said, is there any other new business that we need to manage or take care of?
Yeah, I'm kind of got a couple of questions. Of the 19 people that you said in the paper, how many actually died from COVID?
What do you mean?
I mean, did they just have COVID at the time, or did they die
from COVID?
I don't
have that data in front of me. I mean,
because the way the paper read, it kind of upset me. I mean, I mean, you were telling everybody that they need to get their shots and everything. Your job's not to give medical advice, is it?
Well, that message has been the message.
No, that message has been for a lot of people, but it hasn't been for everybody, to everybody get the shot. I mean, we just had a referendum a resolution where we voted on people shouldn't have to worry about losing their job over getting the shot. People should. I mean, I guess my question is, the way you came off in that article, you came off like you were pushing the shot, you were pushing all this, and every one of them people that had COVID, that you said died from COVID, and my question is, did everybody die from COVID of them 19, or was it this 19 of them had COVID and some of them happened to die?
They're reported as COVID deaths from us, and we report it that, I mean, I'm not reviewing it or looking at it, but it was 3 days of deaths reported to have 19 deaths, okay. And I knew that the press was going to be all over that with
but
me.
But do you think you should be using your influence to influence people to get...
It's not my influence. That is absolutely the public health message that has been that way. It's not my influence. You can look at anything you want to look at and see that vaccines are the best preventable. That's the best tool in the toolkit right now, working through this.
Yeah, but a lot of people aren't looking at it that way. You know, there's a lot of people that are relying on natural immunity right now. And I'm just not sure you should be the one. I mean, do you have any medical background?
I'm the director of public health.
I get that, but no nursing. You're not a doctor. You're not a nurse, right? I'm just trying to figure out where your qualifications are to tell people what they should be doing on that. As far as getting the shot and stuff, maybe I'm confused. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how to,
I'm
delivering the same message that every health department across the country is delivering. I don't know what else to say to that, Mr. Eaker. That's my job.
Maybe I'm a little confused. I didn't like the way the headline of the paper went
well, I wish
day.
I could control how newspaper articles are written based on, you know, phone calls that I get.
I didn't read it, so I don't.
I don't know. I got to think on it some more, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we can't control what the newspapers write, or I can't.
I know, but I was mainly concerned about
every health department nationwide. I don't mean that everybody is nationwide, but every health department is saying you should get the vaccination.
But they're saying they're coming out saying everybody that has COVID died of COVID. That's not true.
Well,
everybody that's maybe you could have COVID and you died, but you died of something else. Well, they're trying to make these numbers so big and trying to justify everything. That's what concerns me.
Well, maybe there's only 700,000.
I'm a pass-through. Our department is pass-through. Those numbers, those cases, those deaths, that gets reported to us from the hospitals. We count it. We put it into our INEDS data. Vital Records will continue to go through and scrub all of that and look at it. I mean,
and I think
things are just passing through us.
For the record, your responsibility and job is to administer whatever vaccine you're being asked to administer, and I guess Terry's point is just simply this: at what point in time do you become an advocate? And I'm not saying you're an advocate. Okay, I'm just saying, at what point in time are we supposed to be an advocate for the vaccine? And if I asked Jack that question, I think Jack would say, "Yeah, I think we should," because he absolutely 100% believes in it. And I'm just going to share my story, okay? Not my story. I already got COVID twice now, okay? And I have the vaccine. But my daughter-in-law took the booster, and she's pregnant, so we're really concerned about it. The booster, like 2 months ago, she took the booster. So that's her third shot that she got. And she got COVID 2 months later. Mm-hmm. And nobody can figure this thing out. You know?
No, you're right.
It's really complicated. There's yep. no. Now, was her symptoms mild? Based on what she told me, they live over in Chesterfield. Based on what they told me, it was mild. Okay, so that was the good news. And so I'm hoping that these things are creating a milder response to the sickness. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, if you read the papers, they're saying in national news, if you take out the bureaucrats, is that Omicron's going down. They believe that from now on, any further strain will be less and less and less. Monmouth did a poll. 70% of our country says, move on. We know COVID's going to be around, just like the flu's going to be around. Again, I know COVID is a little more dangerous than the flu, but, you know, cancer's more dangerous than COVID. So we need to move on. And these people are right. And, you know, I'm looking at the utter arrogance of some governments. I mean, Novak Djokovic couldn't play in the Australian Open, even though he has natural immunity because he had it, and his doctor said, you do not get this shot. This will affect you negatively. Can't play in the Australian Open. You've got Joe Rogan has doctors on. Some of the doctors said that the vaccines don't work, so on and so forth. And you have people protesting Joe Rogan, get him off the air. I mean, of course, it's two old people that probably outside of this room never heard of him. But you've got, you know, and I'm sorry, but you had a prior employee that went to the newspaper blasting a lot of what we're doing as county board members, very disgraceful, disrespectful. Did she go to you and Kurt, which is the chain of command, to do this?
Tony, I can't control what the board, I can't control what the board members say, and I'm not sure. And I did hear, by the way, this is not coordinated by any of our parts, okay? I did hear that she did say something negative.
Sir, you should not be talking about any individual, and even
talking about what I'm talking about. What I read in the newspaper, it's very disrespectful. Did she go through you or Kurt?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not discussing that in this session.
Like when you did that article, did you tell Kurt you were doing that?
Of course not.
Okay, he's your boss. You should run that through your boss.
They are well aware of what the public information is.
Okay, the chain of command. You don't go through the chain of command, and a lot of businesses, you get reprimanded or fired. You do that in the military, you can be court-martialed and thrown out. We need to make sure that we are going through the proper people. So I think, you know, as I said, my thing with the vaccine, I got it. Did I want to? No. I mean, it's time to move on. I'm going to say that. Time to move on. We need to move on, learn to live with it, stop running around scared.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mike?
Second.
So, Terry? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Is that all?
I can go. Won't get my wife off easily.